Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. If you were listening to our broadcast last week, you know that we started a series dealing with this, what has come to be called a special fireside for disaffected Swedish LDS saints. This was brought about primarily due to a man in Sweden, in the Swedish Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a man by the name of Hans Mattsson, who was being approached by people with various questions that they had been finding on the internet and decided to ask Mr. Mattsson about these things. And he, of course, didn't have a lot of answers. And so he would go up the food chain to find answers for himself and for these members. And he was not very satisfied with some of the things that he was told. Basically, he felt like he was being ignored or rebuffed or told not to ask those kind of questions any longer. A number of chain of events took place to where eventually Elder Marlon K. Jensen, who at the time was the LDS church historian, and Richard E. Turley, Jr., the assistant church historian, were sent to Sweden to have a meeting and to discuss some of the questions that they had. This took place on November 28, 2010 at a chapel in Stockholm, Sweden. And this is what brings us up to speed today.
Yeah, and if you haven't heard the previous week, you might want to go back to our podcast. You can go to mrm.org, and on the right side, click on radio. You can hear the podcast from the past week, and that might be good just to give you some more background, because otherwise coming in the middle might be a little more difficult. We also have the links to the actual talks we're going to be talking about on our website. If you type in mrm.org/fiery-fireside, you'll get the article that has all of those links as well. So that might be worth a little bit of research, because I think this is a really important topic where we're at right now.
I also want to mention again how Eric and I have actually listened to the recording of the evening. It's about 2 hours.
Is that over 2 hours.
Over 2 hours worth. And we've also gone along, while listening to the recording, we've been reading the transcript that was made from the recording. For a couple of reasons. One, we wanted to know if the transcript was accurate, because we found that on one particular blog site, a Mormon did question the accuracy of the transcript, which tells me he was probably disturbed by what he read as well and was hoping that it wasn't transcribed accurately. But it was. It's very accurate, surprisingly accurate. It's not that every word in this meeting was recorded, because some things were hard to understand, admittedly. But when that happens, it just merely has a timestamp of how long that section was that you are not getting the transcript of. It was fascinating. And the Swedish members had some very good questions. And one of the things that I'm sure a lot of the people walked away from that meeting with is that the questions really had some validity to them. And they were not just evil rumors or evil imaginations of the alleged quote-unquote anti-Mormons that are out there putting information on the web. And you know, Eric, that always bugs me when I hear things like that, because I mentioned last week how I was talking about some historical issue in Mormonism, and this Mormon wrote me back and attributed that to the lies of anti-Mormons, even though I was quoting from his own historians on this particular issue. You have to wonder sometimes, and I don't want to think this of most Mormons, but are Mormons so shallow that they really think we're not getting this information from their own sources, that we're making this up?
See, and no amount of prayer can make these historical facts go away. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if the resurrection of Jesus was not true, we're the most pitied of all people. And here, what's being talked about, what we'll be talking about this week, have to do with history, things that really did or did not take place. And that's where these Swedish Latter-day Saints are really struggling, because if the things that they're hearing are really true, and if the church doesn't have any answers, and I think we're going to see this week that these two historians, I don't think, had very good answers, then there's a problem with the very foundation of this whole movement. Mormonism cannot be true if the history behind it is not true.
There were a couple of things that really bothered Hans Mattson, for one, and we talked about his story last week as well. We don't need to recap a lot of that. But it was not just the fact that he had not heard about a lot of these things. There were some issues of Mormon history that he had been taught that was quite the opposite of what actually happened. And his natural concern was, why is this church, why are my leaders telling us things that they know obviously are not historical facts? One of them, of course, and we're going to talk about this, is how the Book of Mormon came about. And we find this a lot of times with Mormons when we bring up how the Book of Mormon came about in fact, okay, as their own historians and their own books actually say, it's not quite the way the pictures portray it.
No. Nope.
And when we explain how it really supposedly came down, they look at us like we're crazy. Like, why would you invent such a horrible thing to say about my prophet when all we're doing is quoting LDS material? And I have to keep saying that over and over again when I have Mormons write me, look, go check out the references. This is your stuff. It does us no good to make this up, because if we did, you would catch us, and rightly so, and you should expose us if we were to do that. And I've often said, I just don't have the imagination to make up a lot of this stuff. I mean, truth is stranger than fiction, as they say, and certainly Mormonism would fall into that category. Getting back to this Q&A session that took place in 2010 in Stockholm, Sweden, Jensen and Turley, the two Mormon historians, obviously have been briefed into what they are going to get into. So they already know some of the questions that the Swedish members have waiting for them. And as I mentioned, I wonder what was going through their minds. Like, we could be walking into a real lion's den here. And I know at the very beginning, he was trying very hard to be as polite as possible and as positive about this meeting. We're not enemies here, and we're not adversaries. We're all Latter-day Saints hoping for a good outcome on this. But I think they knew that it could very well be very heated at this meeting. I don't get the impression listening to the tape.
And as we discussed last week, they were sent by the leaders of the church. I think very clearly there's only 9,000 Latter-day Saints in Sweden, and it doesn't take much to make that whole thing just fall apart. And so I think they were sent to go squash this as best as they could.
One thing that we heard over and over throughout the recording and in the transcript was they kept complaining, Turley and Jensen were complaining about the lack of time to really get these answers, you know, settled in complete form, which I thought was a shame, because if you're going to send two historians over there to talk to members who are having struggles, I would think you would want to give them all the time in the world. But apparently that was not the case. And from what we understand after the recording, and it's not in the transcript, there was actually an ultimatum that was given to the people that were there that if you don't like it, leave. Otherwise, get in line was basically the message they were given. But as I said, they were prepped. They already knew some of the questions. In fact, that's where we want to start today with Marlon Jensen, what he said.
Yeah, he said, we have been given in advance some indication of what your questions have been. So I'm just saying, they're very good questions. They're questions that are being asked by others, and there are a lot more questions that could be asked.
Last week, I mentioned how there are probably a lot of Mormons who think that the questions they have, that they're the only ones who have them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case. I know Mormons don't normally make it a habit to talk about their doubts with other members. Maybe some do, but many don't. And so when he says there are questions that are being asked by others, if you're a Mormon and you've been having some of these questions, you're in good company. Don't think you're by yourself. You're not.
And then the question that is asked by the person in the audience is, will you have very good answers? And Jensen responds, you'll see in a moment.
In other words, I don't know if he was all sure of himself that he was going to be convincing. You know, you'll see in a moment whether or not I'm going to have good answers. But you brought out something, and I think you're absolutely correct. Jensen seems to pad the time allotted with a lot of stuff that really didn't need to be said. I mean, right after he says, you'll see in a moment, he goes on to talk about, have you ever had a philosophy class? Do you know the word epistemology? What in the world does that have to do with anything? I really don't understand the connection here.
Well, in politics, we call it filibuster. And here, it seems to me that he came in wanting, and this takes up the first half hour of a two-hour meeting, and it's a lot of talk about nothing really associated with why they were supposed to be there, which was to answer the questions, which they already knew the questions that they had. So there's a lot of time that's wasted.
Well, he quotes from, you know, Corinthians, where it says, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And I'm thought, why is he bringing that verse up? That verse really has nothing to do with what they want to have discussed. This is talking about spiritual issues. The people here are wanting to know about historical issues. And I don't see the connection here with what he's trying to bring out in the words of the Apostle Paul with the situation that is at hand. He goes on to say in this long, as you mentioned, filibuster, he says, "I just want to have you bear in mind that no matter how smart Brother Turley might be, no matter how good his answers might be, the only way that these answers can help any of us is if they are spiritually discerned." And I'm thinking, what? That makes no sense to me. Is it a historical issue or isn't it? Do you agree with it or don't you agree with it? That's what's going on here. This has nothing to do with deep theological truths or anything like that that might be a little difficult to comprehend. This is historical issues that are bothering. But then he says something that was really amazing. Jensen says, "There's nothing that I know about Mormonism that bothers me."
Wow.
That was an incredible statement.
And he acknowledges a lot of the problems that the church has, and he tries to minimize a lot of those things, but he is the historian. He knows what goes on. To say you're not bothered by Joseph Smith's taking of teenage wives or other men's wives, to say he doesn't have any problems with the way the black issue was handled, et cetera, that's an amazing statement.
All I can imagine from a statement like that is either Jensen really has no problem with the way Joseph Smith behaved many times, which I think most people would find repugnant, or he has somehow taken those awful behaviors that he sees and tries to tell himself that there needs to be an explanation somewhere. I don't know what else he could mean by this. I really don't. But tomorrow, we're going to get into some more of the questions that were given by this group of Swedish believers.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered how to answer questions you were asked by your LDS friend? Well, a new resource by Kriegel Publishers and written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson is exactly what you need. Answering Mormons' Questions is a 300-page book covering 36 common questions that Mormons often pose. Now you'll have the ability to respond to them with sound biblical reasoning. The book includes a glossary of common LDS terms and has study questions at the end of each chapter. Questions such as, "Wouldn't you like to have your marriage and family endure for all eternity?" and "What's wrong with praying about the Book of Mormon?" are dealt with in a straightforward but loving manner. Available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, 1358 West Temple in Salt Lake City. Or, if you prefer, you can order online at mrm.org. That's mrm.org. Answering Mormons' Questions. It's a resource every Christian needs.